Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We are the loving church with Jesus at heart. And I don't see any visitors. Excuse me? Yes, we're back to see them. Glad to see them both here at the same time. People say that about I and my husband as well. So we don't need to talk about welcome cards. On Sunday, February 16th, we will be collecting from you your blessing box. If you have not received yours, they're available in the fellowship hall and in the narthex. In the meantime, as you experience blessings in your life, may we suggest that you fill your box with a donation. These donations will be used by the Disciples of Christ Church Mission Fund to reach out to those in need around the world to help alleviate suffering all year long. This effort is known as the Week of Compassion. The office will be closed on Monday, and Martin Luther King's birthday. Hopefully everybody's celebrating that. And it will be open again on Tuesday, beginning at 8 a.m. Family Promise will be meeting at our church on January 28th, beginning at 6:30, ending at 8. Everyone is welcome to attend. We will have a spaghetti and movie night January 31st, and I think Paul would like to talk about that.
I'm not good with questions, but it's very basic spaghetti, and then I said what I'll bring, and then a little add in what we don't have to all bring the same thing, so we'll spread it out a little bit. So we'll see all that because it's getting close.
Spaghetti and movie night, January 31st, 5:30 in the Fellowship Hall, and those sign-up sheets are both in the Narthex and Fellowship Hall. Are there any other announcements at this time? All righty. Just a reminder, we're getting near the end of January. Axe donation for this month is peanut butter. Please notice in your bulletin a list of additional activities this week. And at this time, if you would please stand if you're able, and we'll do our call to worship. Blessings to God who gives hope in the darkness of our lives.
Blessings to Jesus Christ who reveals God's love unto the world.
Blessings to the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be the light for others. Amen. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, Sweet, Sweet Spirit, number 261.
Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do feel your sweet spirit in this place. And we thank you for each person that has gathered here to worship you this morning. We also pray for our members who are not able to be with us, that they could also feel that same sweet spirit of your love in their life. Be with us as we worship you, as we sing to you, as we read your scripture, and as we install our new officers this day. And now hear us as we pray to you, as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue our worship by remaining seated and singing hymn number 115, There's Something About That Name. Thank you. That's a sweet song. Right, we come now to our time of prayer, our joys and our concerns. As you know, our ongoing concerns and prayer requests are on the back of the bulletin. I hope you take them home with you and keep them in your prayers this week. We also have on our card Ida and Chuck Bassey. Ida is quite ill herself. Sally Clayton, who, as you, if you got the calling post, moved to NHC. I was going to say H something, but that's not right. NHC in North Augusta. Marianne Takahashi. Is that right? Takahashi. It's a friend of Don and Caroline's. Jensen Boulay and Dan McElvoy. Are there other joys or concerns to share? Yes. Oh, wow.
So, y'all, thank you for your prayers. Wow. And then on my note, I've got another woman I can watch on Saturday night, so I will be showing up exhausted again. But it's a blessing. I need it, so.
And Buzzy and Linda are at the beach celebrating his birthday. So we will miss them today. He put a picture on Facebook of the Myrtle Beach this morning. I'm like, I'm driving to church and you're at the beach. something's wrong with this picture.
And he's saying the wind's blowing and it's a still picture, so we can't see the wind.
That's right. That's right. And we also, I know she doesn't like us to talk about her, but Natalie is not feeling well today. So the fact that she is here is both a tribute to who you are and what how you do your job. So we pray for you. Any other concerns or joys? Okay. Let's pray together. Dear God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for the ability to gather here in a free country with the freedom to worship you in the church of our choice. We thank you for the others that are gathered among us to help us to experience your love through their love and to watch you work in the world through the actions that they do. So God, I thank you for this church and for all the people who call it their church home. I thank you for the officers, the new deacons, the elders, the board officers that we will install during the service. Thank you for their willingness to say yes to you and yes to this church. Dear God, we pray for Ida and for Natalie as they both deal with some kind of bug. We pray for them as they continue to heal. We pray for Chuck. We pray for Sally as she adjusts to her new home. Pray that this transition will go well for her and that she will be able to have a sense of home where she now lives. We pray for Mary Ann and for Jensen and for Dan. We also give you thanks for the report on Susan and for the way that the cancer is shrinking and that prayer and her doctor's treatments are working together for the good of her. We thank you for Curtis and Shelvia that they are well enough today to worship together. Dear God, we thank you for all those who are absent, and we pray that you will help them know that we do miss them when they are not here. Help us to remember to call or send cards or let them know that without them being here, we are not complete. Dear God, we pray for this worship today that it will speak to each of us and equip us to be your disciples in new ways. We pray for our world. We pray for our nation. We pray for those affected by the winter storms this week. We pray for all who are sick or who are grieving. Because, dear God, the world has so much need. And yet we also give you thanks for all the joy, for the ways that people find perseverance and joy in the midst of situations that could put them down. We pray for your strength to continue to guide each of us through this worship and in this week beyond. And now hear us as we pray. Our invitation to communion is a hymn that says we come as guests invited. One of the beautiful things about our denomination, Disciples of Christ, is our open table. We don't see this table as our table to decide who comes and who does not come, but this is Christ's table, and all are invited to Christ. And that means all of us, whether we feel worthy or whether we don't, whether we feel sinful or whether we feel saved, whether we feel joyful or whether we feel down. Today we are all invited. So if you are able to stand, sing with me hymn 386. If not, please remain seated and sing too. 386, we come as guests invited. may be seated. Now that we are invited to this table and we have all come, let us hear these familiar words that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, he was eating with his disciples, and he took a bread, loaf of bread, and gave thanks for it, and broke it, and said to his disciples, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hear now our prayer for the bread.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings that you have showered down on us each and every day. We're especially thankful for the friends that you have placed in our path in our walk to you. As we gather here at your table to participate in Holy Communion, let us remember that the bread represents your Son's broken body that was given up so our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Help us to live out each and every day of our lives to give meaning to that great sacrifice. We accept now your covenant of love as our gift to receive and our responsibility to share. Amen.
The body of Christ broken for you. Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks for it and shared it with his disciples and said, "This is the covenant, a new covenant for you of my blood, which will be shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Each time you drink this cup and eat this bread, you proclaim my death until I come." Hear now the prayer for the cup.
O Heavenly Father, we walk in grace, thanks to you. We walk our daily lives down the path that you guide us to. Please be our guide throughout our life and make us faithful believers and doers of Jesus Christ and his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. Worship takes many forms, and now we have the opportunity to worship God through our giving. Gracious God, we offer these gifts and ask your blessing on them and on our use of them. Make us good stewards of all that you have given us and all that you have entrusted of our care. Thank you for all that have given and blessed them as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you are able and join the singing of the doxology.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
This is a song that Natalie introduced me to, and so I'd like to sing it for you this morning. Pray for me as I sing, Lord, You Have My Heart. Lord, You have my heart, and I will praise You and search for Yours in my life. Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on, and I will praise You, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as You show Your face, we'll see You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Let me be to You a sacrifice, and I will praise You, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as we see Your face, we'll see
This is from Corinthians 12, 1, 4 through 27. Okay. Now about the gifts of the spirits, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given common good. To there is through, it is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom to another message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are work of one and the same Spirit, as he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong in the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. There, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with second modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but if God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but if that parts should have equal concern for each other, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it.
The choir can come down, I can come down. Our sermon today is actually three parts. The first part you just heard. That was a very long scripture, but Laura did volunteer, and Laura is an excellent reader, and so I took advantage of her good reading and just went for the whole thing, because that is a beautiful scripture. And sometimes, as pastors, we think that it's our job to interpret scripture, but that particular passage, as are a lot of passages, it needs nothing but to be read as beautifully as Laura read it, so that we can all hear the word of God and let it fill us. Now, I doubt anybody is hearing that scripture for the first time, but the beauty of hearing familiar scripture over and over again is that we are not the same. We are a different person today dealing with what we're dealing with today than who we were last time we heard it. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about we are an aging congregation, and our bodies are not the same bodies that we had when we were 20 or 30. And to hear the different parts of that body, the scripture, it makes, for me, learning how to walk again after some physical therapy and injuries and watching some of you give up some things that you took for granted, it makes us realize the body, we need it all. You stump your toe, and you know that that little toe is not something to be ignored, but it's a big deal. Or you pull a muscle, and you realize you got a bunch of muscles in your body, but that one that you pulled is needing your attention. So if we think about the church being an aging body, because we are the body of Christ, it means we have to depend on each other more and more. And there's nothing wrong with dependence. Healthy dependence is how God wants us to live with one another. The second part of our sermon today is going to be the installation of our new deacons and our elders and our officers. And so you have, I want to do a little bit before we get to the litany that's in your bulletin and tell you a little bit about why disciples of churches have elders and deacons. So I want to read to you from the design, which is how in 1969, when the assembly churches and the convention churches and the disciples came together and attempted to make one denomination, they came up with what's called the design. And out of the design, it says, under ministry in the congregation, it says, it is the usual practice among congregations of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ to nominate, elect, and install, or in other ways recognize for service, deacons and elders. Women and men serving in these offices manifest various spiritual gifts, including maturity, prayer, insight, and leadership. The offices of elder and deacon are ordered by the congregations through election and recognition with appropriate ceremony for the performance of certain functions of ministry appropriate to the office. A person elected to elder is authorized to exercise within the congregation which elects him or her to the ministerial functions it assigns for a period of time, which it specifies, such as the sharing in the ministration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, in the conduct of worship, sharing in the pastoral care and spiritual leadership of the congregation. The eldership is a voluntary ministry, with each congregation having a plurality of elders, meaning we have to have more than one. Now, we have no new elders being elected this year, but thankfully we have our former elders all agreeing to continue to serve. These elders are Buzzy Cheadle, Ida Bassey, neither of whom are able to be with us today, Jim Mitchell, who served at the table today, Lisa Wallmeyer, I did it, yes, and Don Pruitt, who also served at the table. Eliza Husser-Cave and Chuck Bassey serve as Elder Emeritus. So I would like to ask these elders, in the light of your calling to this responsibility, do you reaffirm your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and do you promise to follow him and seek to do and bear his will all the days of your life? If so, if the four of you here will say, I do. And do you commit to the well-being of the church and through God's grace, fulfill a servant ministry of care and concern for all of the church's members? If so, say, I do. A person being elected deacon is authorized to also serve in the congregation which elects him or her for a period of time, which it specifies by assisting in the ministration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, in the conduct of worship, and in the pastoral care and spiritual leadership of the congregation. The diaconate is a voluntary ministry. Now, they focus that both of these ministries are voluntary. That means people serve because they say yes. And if life gets too difficult or if other things take priority, then they can say, I can't serve right now. Doesn't make them less than a person. It just makes them a wise person. This year we have three deacons being installed for the first time. If you're able to stand up when I call your name, that's San Cave Riley, Ed Albritton, and April Verge. I'm going to ask you all three similar questions. We also have continuing deacons, Judy Mitchell, who's coming back on the diaconate, Paula Jones, if y'all will also stand, Millie Clark, Ernestine Goggins, and Robin Booth. The church has prayerfully considered your gifts for ministry, for service in its diaconate, and has duly called you to be a deacon. Each of you has accepted this call as God's intention for your life. In light of your calling to this responsibility, do you reaffirm your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you seek the peace, unity, and purity of the church? And do you, in accepting the office of deacon in this congregation, promise faithfully to perform all the duties pertaining to your calling? If so, say, I do. For the three new deacons, I have a deacon pen. Don't lose these because they're out of print. And now, if y'all want to sit down for a minute. Our board officers are also all continuing, even though their times have technically expired. They allowed themselves to be reelected. Our board chair is Buzzy Cheadle. Robin Booth is our vice chair. Jim Mitchell is our treasurer. Caroline Hale is the financial secretary. Susan Ullman is the board secretary. And Frances Finfrock is the church clerk. These are elected offices of the church. Other church leaders include Natalie Lawrence as our wonderful church musician, Frances Finfrock as our church secretary, and Scott Finfrock as our sound director. So if you will turn in your bulletin to where it says Litany of Installation. And we will go through that together. Sisters and brothers in Christ, we have gathered in this time and place to be the church, the living body of Christ. We are called out in Christ's name to be advocates for and examples of God's gracious and unconditional love. We are a part of the vision prayed for by Christ and embraced by numerous brothers and sisters who laid the foundation before us. We celebrate the legacy of our dearly beloved saints beholding this glorious occasion from heaven.
Thanks be to God, the author and finisher of our faith.
Let those of us who are able to stand at this time, let us reaffirm our faith and remind ourselves of who we are and to whom we belong. Members of the Christian Church, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior of the world. In Christ's name and by his grace, we accept our mission of witness and service to all people. We rejoice in God, Maker of heaven and earth, and in God's covenant of love, which binds us to God and one another. Through baptism into Christ, newness of life, and are made one with the whole people of God. In the communion of the Holy Spirit, we are joined together in discipleship and in obedience to Christ. At the table of the Lord, we celebrate with thanksgiving the saving acts and presence of Christ. Within the universal church, we receive the gift of ministry and the light of Scripture. In the bounds of Christian faith, we yield ourselves to God, that we may serve the one whom kingdom has no end. Blessing, glory, and honor be to God forever. Amen. Having reaffirmed your faith in Christ, I now ask those of you who have been called to leadership positions for this church, will each one of you accept the responsibility that has been entrusted to you in the leadership position to which you have been called?
Yes, with God's help, we will.
Will you seek to open your hearts to receive the grace sufficient for your positions?
Yes, with God's help, we will.
Will you be a witness of the good news and participate as servants in a spirit of cooperation and oneness?
Yes, with God's help, we will.
Now I address the people, members, and friends who are gathered in this service. Will you give these leaders your support and trust? And pray for them as they seek to lead us in the cause for Christ and all the expressions of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, in the United States and Canada, under the headship of our Lord Jesus, the Christ.
Yes, we offer our prayers and our support to the trustless leaders of this congregation as they follow Christ and show Christ's love throughout the world.
By the power vested in me, as believer in Christ and as a servant leader of this expression of the church, I hereby declare each of you affirmed and installed as the leaders of First Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. I charge you to lead with compassion, wisdom, fortitude, forbearance, forgiveness, and faith toward the fulfillment of God's realm on earth. Let us pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for these people who have said yes to you and yes to this church. We ask your grace on them and your grace on this church, that we can continue to follow you in the best way that we can. Bless them as they serve this church. Strengthen them, empower them, and help them to rely on you and on your forgiveness and on your strength. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you may be seated. Our third part of the service involves all of you. Because if you remember from the scripture that Laura read, you can't just be an eye. You can't just be an ear. You can't just say, well, you know what, I wasn't one of those elected, so I don't have to worry about anything. There is no place in any scripture that I've ever seen where people are called to be pew warmers. We just don't have it. We have people, and I want you to be in the pews, so please keep coming. But that is not all for anybody. Christ equips every single one of us with spiritual gifts, with gifts for reaching out for other people. So a church takes everybody. A small church like ours really takes everybody. There is a job for everyone to do. One of the things we talked about at our deacon and elder training, which y'all will be getting in the next newsletter, is how to make the work of the church more spread out. So that, yes, the deacons and the elders have jobs to do, but so does everyone else. And so we're going to make some changes in carry-in, and we're going to open up carry-in to be a responsibility of the church. So those of you that said, I can't serve as a deacon right now because of this or that, you can serve a month or two in carry-in. So there's going to be work to do for everyone. You can come to DWF and help with the trash to treasure sale. You can sing in the choir. You can come to Sunday school. You can start a new Sunday school class. You can visit the sick or call them. There is work for everyone because, as the scripture we heard today says, we all have spiritual gifts. Sometimes the spiritual gift is silence. If you're worried about, well, I can't talk very good, that's okay, because being a good listener means don't talk so much. You listen. So be in prayer this week. Is what gift is God calling out in you for this year at this church? And our church, even though we're located here at 900 Kerr Drive Southwest, our ministry isn't limited to this corner. Each of you are involved in other groups, whether you work outside or whether you are a part of a service club or not. We have opportunities to be Christ's disciples every moment of every day, no matter where we are. So last year, I look back on what we did last year, and it fell on the same Sunday that it falls on this year, which is the Sunday prior to Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King Day is a day of service. It's a day where people are called to remember this wonderful leader by doing something. Not just remembering him, but going out and keeping his dream alive and doing something that makes a difference not only in your life, but in the lives of someone else. So we did this last year, and I invite you to do it again. We're going to have an open invitation of the blessing of hands. Normally, our invitation is an invitation for membership. Now, that invitation still stands, but today's invitation is an invitation to say yes. To say yes to the blessing that God wants for you, and to say yes to the blessing that God wants you to be in someone else's life. I told y'all last year, I don't know if you remember, blessing of hands is something we did a lot when I worked at the hospital. We would bless the hands of new nurse graduates. We would bless the hands of nurses during Nurses Week. We would bless the hands of new officers during the new year at the hospital. And a lot of chaplains would use oil, which you can certainly bless people's hands with oil. But I like to use water, and I especially like to use water here in this church as we bless hands today. Because water, as you know, is our symbol of baptism, first and foremost. Water is also a universal symbol. A lot of faith groups know about water. Native Americans have water as part of their spiritual rituals. Water cleanses us. Water nourishes us. You can live without food, but you cannot live without water. So this water today represents anything that you want it to represent for you at this time. But most of all, for me, it represents a way for us to put our hands in the water together and receive God's blessing. So I would invite Natalie to come first, and then she can play. We're going to make this our invitation hymn. So if you would open up to our invitation hymn, which is 340, Softly and Tenderly. After I bless Natalie's hands and she is able to play, if you will come in groups so that you can continue singing and come as you are able. Again, this is an invitation, not a requirement. So, okay. Natalie, God bless your hands and all that you do and as you serve him.
Calling for you, calling for you. reminded of our youth, go forth and serve the Lord. Our hymn of going forth is Seek Ye First, hymn number 354, Seek Ye First.